Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. All praise, all glory, all honor belong to only one, and that is the true and the living Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, the King of the universe, the Savior and the Redeemer of the whole earth. Let everything that have breath praise the mighty Yahweh by saying, Hallelujah. My people, it is a pleasure to be on the broadcast, the true word, not the false one, but the true word of the true and living Elohim. My people, today we're going to be speaking of a subject that is near and dear to us. And of course, when I say us, I'm speaking of the so-called African Americans, my people, Yah's people, the chosen people. We're going to be speaking of afflictions. Very important that we understand why are we afflicted and what does it mean? What is the Almighty trying to do with us to afflict our souls, and to afflict us with the things that we have endured ever since that we've been here, all the things that we're going through today, how it's so hard to seem to make it, how all the things that we wish that we could have, it just don't seem to happen. Well, today, let's talk about it. Let's see what Yahweh has to say about it, and let's see what the future holds for Yah's people. And as I mentioned, Yah's people is the so-called African Americans and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this earth. For we are the Creator's chosen people. And because we did not keep his commandments, we find ourselves full of afflictions. And we're going to talk about the importance of the afflictions and what they mean and what is the Almighty trying to show us and teach us anytime that we're catching hell. And many of us, most of us, we know we're catching it. We know some of us don't even know how we're going to pay our next house note. Some of us don't even know how we're going to make it from month to month and year to year. And we're all in the same boat, just about. So afflictions really is our friend. Yeah, that's right. You heard me say it. Afflictions is the black man's friend. And I'm going to prove it to you by showing you his words. But before we go into these things, we got to hear a beautiful song of praise by our beloved brother Eliah ben Israel called Praising Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Get him praise Yahweh Elohim. Must live my life within His law. Must live my life in righteousness. I gotta keep all of His testimony. Man, who made the heavens? Who made the earth in the sky? For the Sabbath day, that's when I acknowledge my holy sign. Exodus chapter 31:12-17. I do not need to worry. Yahweh will save me when I'm in distress and in trouble. He told me to walk humble, like Uzziah the prophet. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 3:6. He told me to acknowledge Him and all of my ways. We living in these latter days. I gotta put all of my trust in His holy name. I know that Yahweh is King. Yeah, He will redeem us out of this hell. We His people, Israel, scattered from one end of the earth. Overtook by His curse. I am married to Yah. For the better on earth. Give you earth. Give you heavens. For Yahweh is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are just. Yahweh is the Elohim of truth. Without Him, just and right is He.
Praise Yah the Most High. Yeah, He is righteous. The habitation of justice. Only if you trust His laws and His statutes. Precepts and His covenants. Yah sanctuary is full of benevolence. Loving all His ways and not eating to the full. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 came to relate. The law is perfect and it converted my soul. The law is right and it is the only way that I will go. Because the only man is to fear Yahweh Elohim. And to keep His commandments, one day there will be a famine. Not prepared no for the church to hear the words of Yahweh. But they will not get it. So why is truth committed?
Oh Yahweh, Thou art my Elohim. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name. For Thou has done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old, are faithfulness and truth. For Thou has been a strength to the poor, and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, and a shadow from the heat. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praising Yahweh. There ain't nobody else I want to praise. For the Almighty is the greatest. And beside Him, there is none else. It's a blessing if you are able to listen in today. With all the afflictions that have happened to us as Yah's chosen people, we should be all ears to His words, for it is He that afflict us because of our own disobedience. But it's necessary. Did you hear me? Afflictions is necessary for restoration. Afflictions is necessary to restore our health. Afflictions is necessary for the things that we're going to continue to experience, because it's going to help us, believe it or not. And the Almighty has prophesied that His people would be afflicted. Now, you remember I said earlier that affliction has been the black man's best friend. Because in most cases, we realize that until something happened to us, we just don't get it. Our minds don't click on change real quick. But we have to go through some things in order for us to consider. And Yahweh even said that this is how we would get it. So we praise Yahweh because it shows how much He loves us. For instance, go to Proverbs, the third chapter. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, and see what the Almighty had to say concerning his words on how he deals with us. In the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, here's wisdom for you. And it's mentioned, starting at the 11th verse, this is what it says. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary of his correction. For whom Yahweh loveth, he corrected, even as a father in the son in whom he is delighted. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Thank you, Yahweh. I tell you, with the afflictions that have happened to us, we have to admit, Yahweh sure must love us. Praise Yah. Praise Him. Because truly, He loves us. That's why He'll deal with us. See, He's going to deal with us. He's going to deal with us if He loves us. See, no parent that really don't love their child, it would just allow their child to just do anything and don't say anything to them, don't try to correct them, don't punish them, don't do anything to put them back in the position they need to be in. Only a parent who don't love their children would let their child just go astray. And the Almighty said, for whom Yahweh loveth, he corrected, even as a father in the son in whom he is delighted. And guess what? We're his sons and his daughters. Hallelujah. So he must delight in us. Because we catching hell everywhere. And it's so important that we understand this. And that's why, let's see where the Almighty started this. Let's see where he started to speak this great affliction that would happen to his people. And it's recorded in the book of Genesis. Let's go to Genesis and see what the true and living Elohim had to say concerning the affliction that he would put upon us. And it's recorded in the 15th chapter of Genesis. And if you don't have a Bible, my people, I highly encourage you to get some. I highly encourage you to get you some scriptures so that you can clearly see why is the Almighty afflicting us, even us that have turned back to his laws and starting to keep his commandments. And sometimes it seems like that the Almighty is truly afflicting us. Well, he is. He is. But it's all good. You know, you heard people say that before. It's all good because it's all for our good. It's all for our good. Do you really believe that Yahweh wants us to desire to live in America for the rest of our life? Did you really believe that he was going to make it pleasant for me and you, even us that keeping his commandments, that he was going to just make every day pleasant? Oh, no. Oh, no. Yahweh loves us. Yahweh feels our pain. I got to show you that. I got to show you that he feels our pain, even when he's whipping us, like you would your own child if you had to whip them good because they disobeyed you and you had to punish them good because they didn't do what you asked them to do. Yahweh has feelings. He has a heart. He has a mind. He has arms and legs and feet, hair, just like we do. And in Genesis, the 15th chapter, Look what Yahweh said to Abram before his name was even changed to Abraham in Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse. This is what it reads. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Oh, man, this is deep. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Did you hear that? 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Hallelujah. Praise be to the mighty Yahweh. Now, we have scriptorial identification on our captivity. We have recorded information to verify that the so-called African Americans and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this earth, you and me have information, tangible information, to prove that no one has experienced this right here but us. No one. No one else has this plight. No one has this testimony where the whole nation, Yah prophesied, know for a surety that your seed, your descendants, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. There has never been a time recorded to any other nation of people that have left their country, their land of nativity, for almost 400 years, except the so-called African Americans and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this earth. No one else has this testimony. Even the people who claim that they're Jews, who claim that they're some Israelis, because they don't even call themselves Israelites, I noticed that they have been very careful to never say that they're Hebrew Israelites. But they call themselves Israelis or Jewish. Well, I know why. Because according to this verse, they can't identify with this. They were not done this way, even during what is called Holocaust. Holocaust don't match this. And we don't glory in the downfall of any people, not even the Edomites, because the Almighty warned us never to do that. But the Almighty told us to know of a surety through our father Abraham that our people would be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And it ain't nobody but us. They may have put so-called Jewish people in a gas chamber, which is terrible. They may have put them in camps, but then none of them had to come from their own land, butt naked on slave ships, packed like sardines in a can, with defecation, menstruation, urination floating on those boats. And you wonder why we developed various diseases that we carried in our DNA from generation unto generation as we came to this country? Because of all the filth that was in those ships, some of our people just jumped off into the mouth of hungry sharks because they didn't want to endure what they knew was going to happen. So they just jumped in the mouth of sharks. No one has endured the affliction more than the so-called African Americans. And I noticed how our people are concerning Indians and the things that happen to Indians. And we don't glory in what happened to Indians in this country. But let's understand, no one has endured the affliction that your ancestors have endured, and even us unto this very day, no one has this testimony but you. So stop running from your past, because this is your identification. This is your verification that you are these people. So put that down. Remember that. When people talk about slavery, a lot of our people don't like to talk about slavery. Well, the Almighty is speaking slavery here. When he said, they shall afflict them, they shall serve them. You look these words up, and you'll find that's what they mean. Servitude means bondage, slavery. And also that nation, he said, whom they shall serve, will I judge. And afterwards, they shall come out with great substance, with great reparations. So we don't have to go around begging no one for reparations. As the Egyptians were glad to see us leave Egypt years ago when our ancestors came out with their fists held high, so shall the so-called African Americans and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of this world, so shall they come out with great substance, great reparations, with their hands held high in the sight of all the Americans. Hallelujah. Furthermore, we find that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt concerning this scripture that this identifies us. This is not what happened to our ancestors years ago when they were in Egypt. How do I know this? Remember, we're talking about affliction now. Let's go to the book of Exodus, the first chapter, and see what was going on in recorded history in the book of Exodus, the first chapter, concerning our people and their plight at this time. In Exodus, the first chapter, we find in the sixth verse, it gives a history of what happened to our ancestors. And I'll start at the fifth verse of Exodus 1. This is what it reads. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah's letting you know that at this time, our people, they were quite fruitful. They were increased. They were multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the Egyptians knew that. They were feeling the effects And guess what made them multiply? Guess what made them multiply even during this time? Now, this is a word for the wise. This is what he said. It says in the 10th verse, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. So the more afflictions they put on us, as even unto this day, the more we grow. Because we grow and multiply through afflictions. Yes, this is how we multiply. Unless we get caught up in the heathen's ways, unless we get caught up in their new inventions where they try to stop us from multiplying, where they try to implant things in your body, of our sisters especially, so they can't have children, because they don't want to see you multiply. Understand, they don't want to see us multiply. But don't you know afflictions will cause you to multiply? Because you'll have time to increase. The Almighty is letting you know, the more they afflicted him, the more they grew, the more they became more and more. Furthermore, the true and living Elohim wanted us to know that during this affliction, he told us that we grew and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with us. And then they put taskmasters over us to afflict us, because they thought that was going to slow us down. But let's understand, my people, this was not 400 years. This was not 400 years. For look what the Almighty said specifically in the book of Exodus, same book. Let's look in Exodus, the 12th chapter, and let's read the recorded history that's recorded in the 40th verse, verse 40 and 41. This is what it reads. This is deep. He said, now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. So we can see there's a great difference between Genesis, the 15th chapter, where the Almighty said to know of a surety that our seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. There's a difference between 400 years of affliction and 430 years of sojourning. The word sojourning in the 40th verse of Exodus 12 is not the same meaning of affliction, because our people were not afflicted for 400 years when they were in Egypt. You read in Exodus 1 where they waxed exceedingly mighty. Why? Because Yah blessed them. And Joseph was second in command. And Joseph was second in command, and they were able to flourish for many years before they were afflicted. Don't you know, my people? See, we find that when you read the scriptures of the words of the true and living Elohim, we find that age, to know the ages of someone, is a blessing. Because Yahweh put age here to identify certain points of times. And you can calculate from the times of someone's age that he may record in his word and find out how long somebody was going through a particular event or plight. For instance, turn to the book of Exodus, the 7th chapter, and see what I mean. For in Exodus, the 7th chapter, it's going to give a historical recorded record of Moses' age, of when he first went to the Pharaoh. And then, of course, all you got to do is remember that it was a little bit before Moses was a baby and put on the waters from the Pharaoh's edict, according to Exodus, the 1st chapter. If you read that, you'll find that they had said that they were going to put all the Hebrew boys to death, that no Hebrew baby that was a son would live. He said in the 16th verse of Exodus, the 1st chapter, and this is what the king of Egypt spoke to the midwives. When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives, of course, they feared Elohim and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive. Hallelujah. Because these great sisters had courage. They had courage. And believe you me, in order for you to make it through affliction and servitude and slavery, you're going to have some courage, my people. You're going to have some courage, because it takes that to make it through affliction. For instance, let's look at the words of our true and living Elohim, where he lets you know that at the time of Exodus, the 2nd chapter, we find that this is when Moses was born. And this is when he was put upon the waters, and the daughter of Pharaoh brought him up. So it wasn't long after the new Pharaoh came and Joseph had died that all of a sudden Moses was put on the waters later. Now, in Exodus, the 7th chapter, as I'm about to show you, it recorded the age of Moses when he first went to Pharaoh. This is what it reads in Exodus 7, verse 7. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke unto Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Now, let's add this up. Let's add this up. It says Moses was 80 years old. What does that mean? Moses was 80 years old. Aaron was 83 when they first spoke to Pharaoh. And in Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter, let's go there. I like this. I like to go line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, to see the words of Yahweh come alive and to be spoken in truth and in righteousness, to be verified as a witness against anyone who would say that the 400-year captivity is up, man. It's been up. It's been 480 80 years. It's been 500 years. It's been 1,000 years. That's a lie. And according to Numbers, the 23rd chapter, the 19th verse, it lets you know Elohim is not a man that he should lie. Now we might lie if we just don't know the truth, but he don't lie. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter and the 7th verse. It reads, "And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. So in other words, it says, and what significance is this? That Moses' age was recorded in this 7th verse as 120 years old. Well, you just add up when he was 80 years old, when he first spoke to the Pharaoh, when he was 80 years old, that ought to let you know that it was going to be the beginning of a new year, because in Exodus, the 12th chapter, Yahweh told them, "This month shall be the first month of the year unto you." So when he was 80, he went to Pharaoh, and that time when he was 80 was the first and the beginning of months, the first month of the year to the children of Israel, our ancestors. Moses was 80, and he died at 120 years old. And we know our ancestors was in the wilderness for 40 years. You add 40 plus 80, what you get? You get 120 years. So let's add it up. If Moses was 80 when he went to Pharaoh, and he was put on the waters as a baby when he was first born at 80, and it wasn't long before Moses was put on the waters that Joseph had died, and all that generation, and then the new generation came, and a man and a new king came in town who didn't know Joseph and put rigor on our people. That's when the affliction began. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. And that wasn't no 400 years. Because let me show you something, my people. Proverbs, the 30th chapter, will let you know something very important about Yah's words. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, this is what it reads. "Every word of Elohim is pure." That means it's true, unadulterated, uncontaminated. "He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar." And you don't want to be found to be a liar, but if you do, all you got to do is just start adding to his words, and you'll be found to be a liar. Because his servants will let you know this. And Yah's words will verify it. So, our ancestors were not afflicted for 400 years and in servitude for 400 years, as we almost have been here about 400 years. Furthermore, let's go to the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, and read more about this great thing that Yahweh put upon us when he said he was going to put us in affliction. And it's in Psalms, chapter 34. We're going to read just one verse. Let's read the 19th verse. This is what it reads. Oh, let's read a couple of verses. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivered him out of them all. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. So in other words, Yahweh said many, not some. Think about it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. Ain't that something? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But what did it say? But Yahweh delivered him out of them all. Hallelujah. Then it says, he keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. That means they shall be guilty. Praise Yah. So don't feel bad about afflictions. The Almighty is putting afflictions on us because we deserve to be afflicted, my people. Do you realize what we have done? Do you realize that most of our people are serving other gods, worshiping other gods, as they did today, where they worship JC, Yahshua, Emmanuel, call them what you want, J-E-S-U-S, call them what you want, and then they worship A-L-A-H just a few days ago. And you know that some of us that may hear this message today that have been awakened to who you are, you remember when you were in the church, you remember when you were in the Muslim mosque, you remember when you were in idolatry and things that you know that you shouldn't have been doing, as well as myself, and we have been afflicted. Well, the Almighty prophesied that we were going to be afflicted. And we have to accept affliction, because really, affliction can be your friend. Now, I'm going to show you what I mean. For instance, here's what the Almighty wanted us to know in the book of Hosea, the 5th chapter. You've got to see this. Hosea, the 5th chapter. Look what the true and living Elohim lets us know concerning the affliction that he would put on us. It says, and this is Yahweh speaking in the 15th verse of Hosea 5, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they shall, or may I say, in their affliction, they will seek me early. That means earnestly. That means honestly. That means sincerely. In their affliction, they gonna seek me earnestly. They gonna seek me early. They gonna seek me seriously. Because that's what it's gonna take for us to consider. And Yahweh told us, I'm gonna go to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. See, that's what he told us in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. Let's go there. 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, the 7th verse. Or may I say, 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. This is what it reads. If my people, which is called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we got to make the change through the affliction for Yahweh to be with us. But one thing you can't do, my people, in which I want you to feel free to call at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to open the phone lines up for any questions or any comments. All you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. After you dial that number, hit 1, and it'll automatically prompt me to put you on the air starting at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because we want to answer your questions by the words of Yahweh or hear your comments. So you read what Yah said. He said, in your afflictions, then you'll seek me early. Now, you got to know something, my people. You got to know what the Almighty said concerning affliction. So we got to be strong. First of all, you're going to have to prepare yourself to be strong. For instance, go to Leviticus, the 26th chapter of Leviticus, and see what Yahweh said we have to do if you want to be saved. If you want to go back home, not to heaven, but I said home to Israel. If you want to go back home to Israel, where your ancestors were, where there'll be no violence anymore, where there'll be no more death and sickness, no more. Because the righteous, my people, they got a lot of wonderful things to look forward to. So you have to be strong during this affliction. And we got to help each other during this affliction. But the affliction is here, and we must accept it. And this is what Yahweh told us in the 40th verse of Leviticus, the 26th chapter, concerning what we must accept for our iniquities. Well, I started the 39th verse. This is what Yahweh said. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity, in your enemy's land, and also in the iniquities of their fathers, they shall pine away with them. Uh-oh. Let's read that again. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity, in your enemy's land, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Now, that's very significant. That's why the scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get ye wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. Yah said, they that are left of you shall pine away. That means waste away in their iniquity, in their enemy's land, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away. So, what is the Almighty saying? As a result of our sins and our father's sins, the Almighty is letting us know that, don't you know, we affect our own descendants' life. When we don't live a righteous life while we're here on earth, we affect our own descendants' life. Yes. Think about it. As a result of our ancestors serving other gods when we were in our land and got kicked out, why do you think that we're here in America? We're pounding away in our own sins. So we can't blame them, because guess what? You could change. You could make the difference. Me and you can make the difference by turning back to Yahweh and doing what it says in the 40th verse. This is what it reads. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they've trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that also I have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. The Almighty is letting us know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that we're going to have to do some changing and some confessing. And this is what Yah said. He said, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquities of their fathers, which they trespassed against me. So in other words, we can't act like we don't connect to slavery. We can't act like we don't connect to years ago before we became in this country. They only teach our people of history during the civil rights days. That's all the history that it seems like that our people even know. They don't go no further back than that. All they remember is back in the civil rights years. Well, where were we before civil rights? Where were we before we became slaves here? What was our original names? These are the things that we should consider. And the Almighty is telling us, they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, which they trespassed against me. That's what they have to do. So we got to confess our iniquities of our ancestors. That means we're going to have to connect back to our ancestors. I praise Yahweh for the afflictions that he had put on us, because we do deserve it. But afflictions, it should help us consider. Furthermore, let's go to the book of Isaiah and see what the Almighty told us in Isaiah, the 48th chapter. Isaiah, the 48th chapter. Let's check it out. This is heavy. In Isaiah, the 48th chapter, I'm going to read the 10th verse and see what the true and living Elohim wanted us to know concerning the afflictions that he said that he was going to put on us. And then I got to show you that, guess what? Yahweh said, as well as we were afflicted, he said he was too. Now let's see. Isaiah, the 48th chapter, the 10th verse. This is what it reads. Yah said, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Yahweh said he chose us in the furnace of affliction. So we better as well accept the punishment, accept the affliction, because truly we deserve it. Truly what our ancestors did, because we have to admit both our ancestors' faults as well as our own, that we have been in the conditions that we've been in even unto this very day. We all have to admit that we have done Yahweh wrong. And we all have to admit that, in other words, the mighty Yahweh wants us to remember what we did to him. And he wants us to remember it because the Almighty, he loves us. And he wants to correct us. He wants us to acknowledge our iniquity and acknowledge what we did to him. So Yahweh said, I'm going to put you in the furnace of affliction. And Yah said, in the afflictions, we will consider this honestly. We will seek him honestly. And praise Yahweh, it took afflictions. Sad to say, sometimes it takes funerals for us to come together. You know it. It takes death in the family for us to even come together. Let's go to Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, before we open the phone line. And as I mentioned, all you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1, and we will put you on the air with your question or comment. Hallelujah. 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We're going to open the lines up in a few minutes. This is what it says. In Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, look what Yahweh let us know in the 7th verse. It says, I will mention the loving kindnesses of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh according to all that Yahweh has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. So if you're not lying, the Almighty said he's your Savior. And Yah wants you to know, if you are lying, stop lying. In the 9th verse, it says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them, that led them by the right hand of Moses, with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name? Hallelujah. And some of our people, because it's been so long, they done almost forgot Yahweh. But the Almighty got to do what he say. The Almighty said, to know of a surety that our seed would be foreigners in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Which lets you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that according to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, that we are the ones. That's right. We are the suffering servant. Don't you know? Go to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And as I mentioned, people, my people, all you have to do, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We're going to put you on the air. As I mentioned, we're going to open the phone lines up in 1 minute at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time so that we'll get to our callers. Area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We'll put you on the air. This is what Yah said in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. He said in the 1st verse, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed. Isn't that something? Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? Now that's heavy. And we're going to go into this right after we answer our caller.
Right, so.
And we have a caller on line area code 404. Go right ahead, caller.
You are not going to believe this. We have contacts right at the hotel.
Caller?
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air, area code 404.
Hey, shalom, Mori Elkanai, brother Isaiah.
Shalom, beloved brother. How you doing? What's
I'm
going
right,
on, brother Isaiah?
Praise the mighty Yahweh. Y'all, it was great. I had a quick question. For as the iniquity of your fathers, is it like a cutoff date for that? As far as when you grown, you still pay for the things that, you know, they do while you in your walk, as far as trying to get right, as far as your parents, you know, that you try to talk to, and they just still rebel, they still just do all type of stuff. Is that still like, going to affect you? Things you go
through? Well, the Almighty wants us to know something in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, because, brother, you just asked a profound question. And, of course, the Almighty was letting us know that he wanted us to remember what our ancestors had did to him. So, of course, he wants us to remember it so we wouldn't return to it. But it don't have to affect us for the rest of our life. So, no, it won't affect us for the rest of our life, but it will affect us in one way or another. And the Almighty purposed that so that we wouldn't do what they did and that we wouldn't make the same mistakes that they made. For instance, my good brother, go to Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, and let's see what Yahweh let us know in the 19th verse. This is what Yah said, we say. Yet you say, why not the son bear the iniquity of the father? And then Yah answered, when the son has done that which is lawful and right, and have kept all my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, Yahweh said, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. So Yah is letting us know that, as he said in verse 20, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the fathers. So in other words, if the son decides that he's not going to do what his father did, then guess what happens? Then now, the son is dealing with his own iniquities because he came to his mind that he's not going to do the same things that his father did, and he's not going to try to suffer anymore and doing the same things that his father did. So, no, it won't carry on forever, but as a result of what our fathers did, that's why we came to this country. But it don't mean that we can't be righteous. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yes. It don't mean that we can't change so that we can get these, the Most High can bless us to where some of these curses would begin to vanish. Just like when Yahweh said in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, here's a curse, my beloved brother Isaiah, that he pronounced against us in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Yah said, and then I'm going to ask, has he lifted this curse from me and you? This is what it reads in verse 64 of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And Yahweh shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. So my question to you, my good brother, is, are you still serving wood and stone?
No way.
I know that's right, and neither am I. So praise Yahweh,
yeah.
He said, now since we didn't keep his commandments, he said we were going to serve other gods, wood and stone. But Yahweh has delivered me and you because we decided we were going to keep his laws and turn to righteousness and do that which is lawful and right. So we don't even worry about that. We know that's an abomination. So as we begin to change, some of those curses begin to get lifted automatically. So that's what I'm trying to say.
All right, thank you. Yeah, that was the perfect scripture, because a lot of people ask me that when I tell them, when they ask us why we going through what we went through, and they ask me, and I tell them, and they say, well, it's something that we didn't do. So that's a great scripture I can just show them that now.
Praise Yahweh.
When they bring that up, thank you.
Praise Yahweh, brother, and I love you. Can't wait to see you at the new moon service in a couple of days.
All right, love you too. Shalom.
All right, praise Yah. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh for my beloved brother Isaiah. And as I mentioned, if you like and have a question or a comment, all you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We'll put you on the air. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh is great, and his mercy endureth forever, obviously, because we can see that the Almighty loves us. Think about it. He said, in all of our afflictions, he was afflicted. And I thank him for that. And I thank Brother Isaiah for calling and asking that question, because a lot of our people actually believe that when you tell them that you turned from your sins and you're serving the Almighty, that a lot of our people don't see that there's no hope for that. And so I praise the Almighty that he has given us a choice to turn from our sins, so that a lot of things that we are suffering from, that our ancestors did, and that we will continue to suffer from, Yahweh said when we turn and start keeping the commandments, automatically that curse be lifted. You won't even have to worry about dealing with no gods of wood and stone, because you know they ain't going to do you no good. So we praise Yahweh as we go to our next caller, area code 336. Caller, you on the air. Area code 336, you are on the air. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
Hey, shalom. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm just calling to just praise the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah, brother. Praise the mighty Yah.
Brother, we're getting close to that 400 years.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere the first slave came here around in 1600-something.
Well, my beloved brother, that's what they recorded in their annals of history. And we don't know if that's a fact or not, but we can just about guesstimate or estimate that it's right around the corner. I know none of us probably don't exactly know exactly when, but you are absolutely right. Even in the annals of the slavers, they kept records of when the first slaves were brought. And you're right. They taught us that in school, in history class, in 1619, and I think it was Jamestown, Virginia. They said the first slaves were brought here. So we know our ancestors was here in the early 1600s. So you're absolutely right. That time is just about up. I agree.
Well, praise the Lord, y'all, and I just love the work that you're doing, brother. Keep it up.
Well, praise Yahweh, and I love you, and may the Holy One of Israel bless and keep you. May you live forever, my beloved brother.
Thank you. Same to you.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah. We praise Yahweh for that great call, because I'm here to tell you that in itself gives us hope. That in itself, it gives us hope. It's supposed to give you hope, because our captivity is not going to be forever. Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said 400 years, they shall come out with great substance, he means that. And as my beloved brother just called, he's absolutely right. And we obviously know it's about that time, but we know it definitely is not past 400 years, because Yah don't lie. And that's why we're going to go straight to the next caller, area code 425. Shalom, shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, Murray. This is Sister Safaria.
Hey, Sister
shalom,
Safaria,
shalom.
How you doing?
We're doing great. We were listening to your wonderful program, and just when the brother, your last caller, had mentioned we're getting close to the 400-year captivity, and you were about to mention the 1619, I believe, because the computer just literally went off. And we were discussing this, you know, before, that as soon as we become to awaken of who we are in Yah and who we are as a people, as a nation, for some reason, I don't care whether it's the internet, you could be talking about something, as soon as you mention the date, that 400-year prophecy that is coming to an end, something shuts off.
Well, you know what?
It's literally shut off. And I said, Mom, hand me your phone, because I'm visiting my mother, because I'm in Seattle right now, and this is her phone. And I said, let me put this phone on, because we want to finish hearing the lesson. And as soon as we were about to talk from that last caller,
yeah,
the computer shut off.
Ain't that something?
Well, yes, it is, you know.
yes, and it's not a surprise, because believe you me, Yahweh said, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. So I'm not surprised at all. And I've been, for a few weeks, I had difficulty even putting some of you all on the air for about 3 weeks in a row. It was like none of my working, and I know my computer works good. But nevertheless, that's the mighty Yahweh. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed his word to
hold
be brought forth through all adversity.
Wow, my granddaughter's trying to put it on. We see the picture, but the actual audio is not working. It's running, but the audio's not playing. And we're looking for Blog Talk, and for some reason it's just not coming on. But I just wanted to make a comment about another comment in regards to what you were talking about, the affliction being, you know, this is good for us. Well, I don't like, my friend, the affliction part. You know, I want the affliction to hurry up and go, but it will keep you humble, and it has definitely done that for my, you know, for me, because I have been prideful at one time, and, you know, it makes you, you will become humble. But the more you are oppressed, the more you are afflicted, the more that you are not, you're not used to the things that you used to have that you could fall back on, all we have is Yah, and it will humble you. But I'm going to get off the phone, but the lesson has been wonderful, and it's been great. Keep it up. And shalom,
praise
shalom.
Praise the mighty Yahweh. I love you, sister, the family, too. May Yahweh bless and keep you, okay?
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the mighty Yahweh. We still have a little time. If you'd like to call in at area code 323-443-7418, hit the number 1. We're going to put you on the air. I praise the mighty Yahweh. And I want you to see this verse, everybody that hears my voice. As I said, you still have a little time to call in. Area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We're going to put you on the air. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter. You've got to see this verse. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Something that Yahweh put in his words to strengthen you, even during hard times, as my beloved sister just said, because it don't make us feel good to be afflicted at all, because affliction is to make you sorrowful. But let me tell you something, my people. It's going to be worth every bit of the sorrow. It's going to be worth every bit, hear me good, of the sorrow. And then I'm going to show you where it matches the remnant. Okay? First, let's look at the book of Proverbs and see what the true and living Elohim lets us know in the 10th verse. It says, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Hallelujah. So in other words, Yahweh does not want us to faint, to get weak in the day of affliction. See, affliction, as Yah said, fear not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary, neither meaning neither be tired of his correction. For whom Yahweh loveth, he correcteth, even as a father and a son in whom he is delighted. My people, Yahweh, you can tell, he must be delighted in us. He loves us. I praise him for loving us, for caring about us, for bringing us through all these times, for sparing our lives during the time of Moses, when Moses could have chose himself by himself to become a great nation, and none of us would be here today. If Moses would have said, yes, go ahead and kill them, y'all. Make a nation out of me, because I'm tired of them too. But Moses must have loved us. And I praise Yahweh for our forefather Moses. I praise Yahweh for Yahweh. And I praise Yahweh for affliction. Why? Because he brought it. And y'all don't make no mistakes. Everything he do is in truth and uprightness. So he know what it takes for us to change. So that's why he told us. He said, he that fainteth in the day of adversity, your strength is not as strong as it should be. You got to strengthen yourself. You got to sharpen your battle axe. You got to be able to make it through these hard times. And you can make it. See, you can make it because Yahweh is commanding you to keep his commandments, to fight for what's right. And it takes courage, my people. It takes great courage. Furthermore, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, and see what the true and living Elohim wanted us to know furthermore. In Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. I'll start at the 13th verse. This is what it says. Consider the work of Elohim, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked? There's nothing we could do. If Yah makes something crooked, who can make it straight? Like some of our people, they say, look, I know that the Creator said we shouldn't eat pork, but my grandmama ate it, my great-grandmama ate it, my great-great-great-granddaddy ate it, and it didn't kill them, so hey, and they lived many years, so I'm going to eat it. And then they had a nerve to think that in the New Testament, when Peter was seeing a vision and heard a voice say, eat and slay, call nothing that I've made common unclean. And they tried to say that was Yahweh's voice. But they never put his name there. They knew Yah's name wasn't going to be put there because Yahweh would never allow Satan or the devil to use his name in a lying book called the New Testament. That's why Yahweh's spirit is not there, nor his words, nor did he speak to anyone in the New Testament. There's not one statement, believe this or not, there's not one statement in the New Testament that says, thus said Yahweh, of the word of God came unto me, of the word of the Most High spoke unto me, or Elohim said unto me, or Yah said. It's void. See, Yah's spirit gathered Genesis through Malachi. And that's why he letting you know right here. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Because he wants us to consider what's going on. It's going to help us, my people. It's going to help us. Let's go furthermore to Zephaniah, the third chapter. In the time that we have left, if you'd like to give us a call, all you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We'll put your question or your comment on the air. And in Zephaniah, the third chapter, look what the true and living Elohim wanted us to know. Now, this is deep. And this is heavy, starting at the 12th verse. If you want to be part of the remnant, if you want to be part of those that be saved, check this out. I will also leave in the midst of thee, Zephaniah, the third chapter, the 12th verse, an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Y'all see that? The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Furthermore, I want you to go to the 18th verse. And I want you to read this whole chapter so you can get the essence of the entire meaning of the chapter. How the Almighty is letting you know that he's going to save an afflicted and poor people. And the remnant of Israel is not going to lie, nor have a deceitful tongue found in their mouth. They're not going to be saying that somebody died for their sins. When in Deuteronomy 24, verse 16, Yahweh said, every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So if you keep perpetuating that lie, you will not go back to Israel. If you keep telling people that a day starts in the evening, where Yah called the light day and the darkness he called night, you won't be going back to Israel. If you believe that you don't have to pay Yahweh his tithes and offerings because you're not in the land, then you won't be going back to Israel. You will be considered a robber of Elohim. Just read Malachi, the third chapter, and see for yourself. Because you're doing something that will cause affliction to people that the Almighty has ordained to receive tithes. And that is the fatherless and the widows. And I got to show you that law on that before we go. Zephaniah, the third chapter, we're going to skip to the 18th verse. He said, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time will I gather you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, said Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. So in other words, Yah said he's going to save an afflicted people. Don't you know an afflicted people, a people who've been catching hell, a people who was sorrowful for the solemn assemblies which were only to be kept in Jerusalem, such as the Passover, such as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, such as the Feast of Weeks, such as the Feast of Tabernacles. They were not going to try to keep a holy feast in the land of captivity where it would have been disobeying the laws of Yahweh. But they're going to be sorrowful for the great solemn assemblies. Furthermore, I promised to show you a scripture concerning if you rob the recipients of tithes, what's going to happen? In Exodus 22. Let's go there. And who knows? Next week, same time, same station, we're going to go over the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. That's right. Next week, we're going to go over Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. We're going to break it down verse by verse and show our people that if you believe that this was a prophecy of a man coming to die for your sins, you have been hoodwinked. You have been bamboozled. You have been lied to. You have been led astray and ran amok. And you have indoctrinated yourself with the doctrine of your own slave masters. So in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, next week, we're going to go over this great chapter and explain it in its entirety in righteousness and truth. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Exodus, the 22nd chapter. Exodus, the 22nd chapter. This is what Yahweh said according to his laws concerning tithes and offerings. Because, of course, according to Deuteronomy, so you can check it out for yourself, in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, by law, the Almighty lets you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, who tithes are for and the recipients of tithes. You can also find that in Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Right before you go to verse 6 in Malachi 3, he will give you what he's going to do to people who rob the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. Although we're the strangers now, but we were never to forsake the fatherless and the widows. According to Deuteronomy 14, verse 29, Yahweh let you know, and the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with thee, the stranger and the fatherless and the widows which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh thy Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. So when you go to Exodus, the 22nd chapter, the fatherless and widows are recipients of tithes. This is what Yah said in verse 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise and cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. So in other words, he's going to kill you when you don't pay these tithes because you're robbing him, and you're robbing the recipients of tithes. Oh, my people, we got a 1 minute left. We got 1 minute left, and we got area code 513. Go right ahead. Shalom, shalom. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, Moray.
Praise Yahweh. How you doing, my beloved
myself,
elder?
And not call in, but I just had to say it was a great program, and I'm so glad. You make me so glad I'm afflicted because I'm truly afflicted.
Okay. Well, praise Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the affliction. Praise Yahweh. We love you. Praise Yah. Shalom, shalom, my beloved sister.
Shalom.
Well, we're going to tune in next week. We hope you do, because we're going to go over Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. But in the meantime, Yahweh loves you, and so do we. Shalom.
He's got a view.